Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Do you want to learn how to tap into unprecedented opportunities in the food and drink industry? Then join our Higher Diploma in Food Product Innovation and Enterprise. This course is 100% online and co-funded by Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Visit lyit.ie for more information.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell, and you're welcome to the Business Matters podcast. Later in the programme, I'll be speaking to the CEO and founder of FitPink, Jenny Timoney. But first, I caught up with the Mayor of the Letterkenny and Milford District, Councillor Jimmy Cavanagh, who last Thursday opened the month-long consultation process of the Letterkenny 2040 Draft Master Plan. Councillor Cavanagh began by explaining that the draft plan is centred around four principal concepts.
Absolutely, Kieran. This is to envisage a future for Letterkenny to 2040, a regeneration programme. It's centred along four main things for Letterkenny Town Centre, Main Street, Pearson Port Road, as green and blue infrastructure, and a new town square and transport hub. Those are the elements of the plan that we want to go out to public consultation on. This is something that's been worked on by the regeneration team for a long time. We've had several workshops on it at council level, and there's been a big input to it from members and from that regeneration team. It's also following up on a previous public consultation at the beginning of the year, which really informs what we have now as a draft master plan. And we're going back, the ideas go back to the public now again and get their opinions on this.
How important, Jimmy, is it that people have had their say already and continue to have their say?
Well, it's very important. I mean, the response the first time was excellent. I think it was over 800 people filled out the survey and so on. So we'd like to see all those people back again to see, you know, they can look and see what they think we've done with it so far. And for people that haven't looked at it before, it's an opportunity to step in now and give your opinion. It's for the town of Letterkenny. It's for your own. It's for your own town, and it's important that you have a say, and it's an opportunity that maybe won't come around again for a while.
Jimmy, as you said, the plan is centred around four principal concepts. Talk to me in a wee bit of detail about what those four concepts are again.
Yeah, well, firstly, Main Street, and you're looking there at a number of things. For example, the Cathedral Quarter, the Market Square, you're looking at restoration, and one of the most important things there maybe is Lower Main Street. Lower Main Street, as you know, Kieran, there's problems there with derelict buildings and empty buildings and so on. And you know, if you think now, I often look at the number of buses that go into the Station House Hotel every year, and the Station House Hotel has done a marvellous job at that, attracting people from England and Scotland and Germany and so on. When they leave that hotel in the evening and to walk uptown, the first impression they're getting of the town is Lower Main Street. And let's be honest, it's not a good impression. So the plan there would be to maybe the council acquire a couple of those buildings at least, and you're looking at maybe trying to get people back living on Main Street again. And by doing that as well, you're hoping that you will encourage other people then to look at their own premises and to try and bring them back into use. So that's an important aspect of Main Street, I think. Market Square, we've already had a consultation on that, which was very well received as well, and there was a very clear winner in terms of the preferred plan for that. And the Cathedral Quarter, you know as well, has been excellent, and there's so much more can be done there, but there's been a lot of good work done already. So those are the sort of main things on Main Street. The old courthouse could potentially be a great tourism facility, and that's been looked at. So that would be a big change for that area of the town as well.
The work that is ongoing in Church Lane, Jimmy, is a real good example of how things can be turned around extremely well, and where small businesses can develop and thrive.
Absolutely, Kieran, and it's a great example of what community involvement can do, and this is what we're asking for here, really. But, you know, the work that's been done by that community group there, led by Don and Harvey and so on, has been excellent, and they have really turned it around. You know, there's so much, and it's even the events now that they're running, as well as that, your physical structure of the Church Lane and so on. They've done marvellous work, and hopefully there's more to come. And, you know, they've won awards there as well. And that's a sort of project that the council would like to be seen to be supporting to their absolute full.
What is your vision for Letterkenny in 2040?
Well, what I'd like to see, if we stick with Main Street for a minute, Kieran, the linkages from Main Street to Pierce Road to Need to Blaney Road to the retail park, they have never really been used properly. You know, I think this is partly due to dependency on cars, but I know if I head downtown, I tend to be either going to the retail park or the Main Street. I'm not really going down to go to both. And we haven't really got that idea of pedestrianisation between those areas going properly. And it's almost like there's a conflict between the two, that they're, it's one against the other, whereas the two should be complementing each other. So I think those linkages from Rosemount and from Oliver Plunkett Road and from Justice Wilds Road and that if we could develop those, Larkins Lane as well, you know, if we could develop those and make them more friendly. I think a couple of them are not friendly enough, especially on winter evenings now coming up to Christmas and that. You wouldn't think about walking them, and you know, they need proper lighting, and you need, in the summertime, more activity along them. You need ways of promoting that and improving that, so that the town is all together, that it's not too separate towns, that it's not retail park against Main Street, that it's retail park and Main Street working together for the good of all the businesses in the area.
There was talk in the past about the possibility of introducing pedestrianisation in certain areas in the centre of town, maybe at certain times. Is that something you think may take legs and gather momentum in the future?
I'd love to see that happen, Kieran, and I think the whole area of active travel, of promoting walking, promoting cycling and so on, is something that we have to get more serious about. And that's something that runs alongside this regeneration plan, as well as all our funding applications for active travel and so on. But yeah, I mean, if you had, for example, a refurbished Market Square that was much more friendly for pedestrians, and if you had say a tourism facility at the courthouse and so on, and if you had more development of the cathedral quarter, I think you would have a great opportunity then for pedestrianisation of Main Street. In the meantime, I think you could pedestrianise it for certain events and get people thinking that way, if you like.
So the long-term vision seems to be, when different projects are completed, one will complement the other, and consequently, Letterkenny will continue to prosper.
Exactly, and running alongside this regeneration plan as well, Kieran, you also have the Letterkenny area plan, which is looking at the wider things, the housing needs, you know, the land needs, and developing south of the trolley, for example, which is hugely important if we're going to get to city status that we're talking about getting to. So that's running alongside this town centre regeneration plan, if you like, and these things will be working together, hopefully, as we go towards 2040.
What is the one biggest challenge facing Letterkenny to make sure that 2040 plan is a success?
I think here, you know, if we could promote more active travel, I think it would be very important. If we could get cars off the road, if we could promote children walking to school, children cycling to school, and get that as part of a culture, if you like, I think you'd make a huge change to the town. A lot of the things that you hear as a councillor from day to day are around traffic problems and that sort of thing, you know, so I think the whole area of active travel is something that we need to get very serious about, and I think this regeneration plan tackles that. And also, Kieran, just to mention another of the streams there is the idea of the blue and green infrastructure and bringing the Swally into play in the town, bringing the river, making the river part of the centre of the town, if you like, and having cycleways and walkways along that. And, you know, that could make a huge difference to Letterkenny, and it would create new economic opportunities as well.
And finally, Jimmy, as we mentioned at the start of the interview, the public consultation process began last Thursday and it runs until Thursday, December the 9th. What is your message to the citizens of Letterkenny and the business owners of the town?
as you said, Kieran, is from 3rd to the 11th until 3rd to the 9th of December, and there's a full day of a consultation as well in what was the former Awer shop on Main Street on Thursday the 25th of November. So I would just ask people to either pop on, if you go to that day on the 25th of November, you can meet the team there, meet the regeneration team, and go through the plan with them. Or you can do the online survey at www.larrykinney2040.ie. I would just ask as many people as possible to get involved. It's a chance as well, I think, for schools to get involved here. You know, and if teachers would maybe show that 4 minute video to their pupils and get the views of young people as well, because I think that's important. It's going to be their town. 2040, it will be their town. So it'd be nice to get the views of young people as well. Chance as well for students in LYIT and so on to get involved as well. So I would just ask as many people as possible to get involved. And I know that there is huge interest in this thing in Letterkenny, in these things. I mean, there was over 800 people the first time, and hopefully that we can match that this time and maybe even do better than that. But the more that comes in, the better. And I would say to people as well that it's not just about big items. You know, you could have small ideas, and there's a section there in the survey where you can add your own ideas. You could have small ideas that you've seen in another town or that you've seen in another country. Small things that could make a big difference, and often small things do. They might not be that expensive. So people don't have to be thinking about the bigger picture all the time. There's an opportunity there to put those smaller ideas out as well. So don't feel that your idea is not worth mentioning, because it is.
Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, Cahiera of Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District, thanks for joining us today on Business Matters.
Thanks, Madeline Kieran. Thank you for having me.
Join us after the break when we'll be speaking to Jenny Timoney.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Accelerate your workforce by enrolling them in one of our lifelong learning courses today. Visit lyit.ie for more information. LYIT Faculty of Business, designed by industry, delivered by experts.
You're welcome back. Jenny Timoney is an entrepreneur with 25 years' experience in commercial and social entrepreneurship projects. Most recently, Jenny launched FitPink, an activewear brand for women that has experienced rapid growth since its launch in July 2019. FitPink donates to Plan International Ireland for every pair of leggings sold, and so far has donated €10,000 on behalf of FitPink customers. What started out as a one-person operation currently employs 15 people.
Jenny, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
Jenny, while FitPink is a relatively new business is nothing new to yourself. Can you talk to me about your business life before you set up FitPink?
Yeah, so I was born in Donegal to a Donegal man and an Indian mum who had grown up in Britain and had come over here on a holiday from university, met my dad, the rest is history. I grew up in Donegal and then Dublin, and then in the late 80s, in that recession, my parents emigrated to Australia. So I did my high school years in Australia, and I came back to Ireland as soon as I'd finished at 18, intending to study law or business over here. Turns out that my Australian high school results weren't recognised, so I thought, what'll I do now? And I thought, well, she'll set up a business. That seemed like an easy option at the time. So I opened a cafe, I got a credit union loan, opened a cafe in a building that's no longer there. It was the tannery in Mount Charles. It was bypassed and bulldozed long since, serving food basically to the summer market.
What year was that, Jenny?
That would have been, 93, many years ago. I didn't know how to cook at the time, but I learned how to make scones, I think, on the first day, soup on the second day, lasagna on the third day, and sure, by the end of the week, I had a full menu.
And why did you choose to go into the food industry?
Well, I was 18, so it wasn't really a very strategic, well thought out plan. It was just I need to do something for work, and probably had a bit of an attitude on me, typical teenager, and didn't really want to work for anyone else. So I just thought it was an easy option. You know, I was very naive when I look back on it.
Coming back from Australia, I'm sure it was a bit of a culture change. How did you deal with that?
It wasn't really for me, because I'd left Ireland when I was 11, and I never really settled in Australia. I always had this grow to get home, never let myself really enjoy Australia, just wanted to get home. So it was brilliant coming back at the age of 18. It was fantastic. I was having a great time for the first few years, just being an 18-year-old and enjoying
so
it.
So the brand was Doolittle. It became a very, almost a household name at one stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we did. We sort of started as a coffee shop. Then we moved into a newly built unit opposite McGee's factory there. And it was a coffee shop. And then it was very quiet in the afternoon and evenings. And I wanted to sort of fill that time, I suppose, and keep the business productive. So I started to make a couple of sandwiches for my uncle's shop at the time, Morris Timoney here in the town. He had a Timoney independent retailer. So I was supplying him with sandwiches. Then I started supplying a couple of other stores with sandwiches. And we went as far as Killybegs, and we went as far as Ballyshannon. And then that went on to Sligo and down to Galway and so on and so forth. And we kind of grew that to sort of being, as you said, a sort of a national brand. And we were delivering from Donegal as far as Killarney 6 days a week. You know, we were supplying customers like Topaz Energy, which is now Circle K. They had 65 stores nationwide at the time. We supplied Aldi Ireland, 65 stores nationwide. So it was a substantial enough business at the time, with 35 people employed full-time here in Donegal.
And maybe how many sandwiches you were making per day?
Oh, gosh. Can't remember now at this stage. A lot of bread, a lot of butter.
Jenny, obviously your business was extremely successful and you had a number of awards. Could you talk to me about some of those recognitions that you got?
Well, it was successful for a time, yeah. I suppose with awards, I always say they're great for the business, they're great credibility, and they get, people to see your business and to know it's there, and that's what building a brand is all about. But I sort of say it was a bit like always the bridesmaid, never the bride with awards for me, so I was shortlisted for lots of them, but I don't think I ever actually won many. But again, gave us good credibility. The most enjoyable one, I suppose, and the one that I probably really gained a lot from would have been I was a finalist in the EY Entrepreneur of the Year in 2007. I'm still part of that alumni today. It's an amazing network and just a fantastic alumni, people that are really inspiring, they're really helpful, they really look after each other as an alumni. That was a really high point, I suppose.
Would you still be in touch with some of those businesses?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a WhatsApp group. We're in touch daily. There's always somebody there that might have had an issue that you're facing. There's somebody in that group that will have faced the same issue before. And likewise, if somebody else is looking for help and something, I can help in bits and pieces. But it's an amazing network. It really is.
So, Jenny, tell me, how and when did the idea for FitPig come about?
That came about in 2016. I had just had my fourth child, a little boy, and I was trying to get back into my exercise. I always would have been fairly fit. So I bought myself some of the bigger brand leggings, the Adidas and Nikes of the world. And I suppose I was a bit annoyed in that they just didn't fit really well. They didn't feel comfortable. They didn't flatter my figure. I just had a baby. And I got looking at the market, really, and I kind of looked at it with an entrepreneur's hat on and realised that athleisure was the fastest growing category in clothing. This was back in 2016. So yes, the pandemic certainly accelerated that, but this was a trend before the pandemic came along. And I just spent time over and back with suppliers, getting samples, iterating those samples, taking a leg off one sample, a pocket off something else, a waist off something else, and hacking them together to make another sample. And then by July 2019, I was ready to launch the business, a very small collection of very well-fitting fitness gear for women. I didn't really make the decision to go until I had a product range I was really happy with. Right. I spent a lot of time, it took about 2 years, and a lot of money probably on samples over and back, but the decision to whether to go ahead with it or not really didn't happen until I had that core range that I was really happy with. Tested it on myself. I have three daughters, Chloe, Jasmine and India. They would have been regular testers. Neighbours, family, anybody really I could get my hands on would be trying things for me at the time.
So I started as an online business, and I suppose that's your speciality, and it is your forte. So you were well placed, I suppose, Jenny, to sort of start an online business.
Yeah, I'd spent the last few years, I had a digital marketing agency, and I would have done marketing and lecturing and training for other small businesses and individuals. So yeah, I mean, I kind of was going to, the business was destined to be sort of digital first, I sort of really thought it would be an online business. And only an online business, but yeah, as we'll get to it, we recently opened stores, so we kind of changed our strategy a bit, yeah.
So Did the pandemic, your business was opened about 9 months before the pandemic struck, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
So did that change your way of thinking, and did it change your plans for the business?
It did. So when the pandemic hit, I was still working full time. I managed New Frontiers for Enterprise Ireland in Letterkenny and Sligo, and I was still doing that full time. And the business was just kind of ticking over in the background. I would go in the evenings and pack orders and dispatch them the next day, and that continued until March the 12th, and then the business just exploded in terms of growth overnight.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised at the increase and how quick it was, yeah. I knew I was getting all the right signals with the business before that, in that people who bought the product loved the product and they were telling other people, and it had that kind of element of virality quite early on. We knew we had a really good product, and I figured it would grow organically and slowly. But I was pretty shocked at the March 12th pandemic growth was something else entirely.
So can you talk to me about the significance of the growth in terms of how big it was?
Yes, so again, it was only myself in the evenings until then, and then by early April there were three of us full time in the business, and now we're up to 15 people. So it went from, I think I remember going to the post office at the time with one of those Aldi bags of packages. If I filled the Aldi bag in a day, that was a really good day. Now it's several sacks a day, and straight away from the start of the pandemic, it was large sacks rather than Aldi bags we were filling.
And where did you start out initially with the pink? And there's where it was based?
It was based over on Castle Street, in an office there, a very small office. It was just enough room for my desk, and I think we had a kind of two shelves on the wall. Then in March of the year the pandemic started, we moved over here. We're above Dom's Bar and Restaurant here in Quay Street in Donegal Town. We've much more space here. Well, we had much more space, but now we're actually about to move again further over into the town to a bigger unit, so...
Is that soon?
That is, yeah. We should be moved on the 1st of December, we hope. Just get the Black Friday mayhem over us and we'll pack up and move then.
You decided to open stores in Belfast, and just last Friday you opened one in Blanchardstown as well. Why did you decide to locate your stores in Belfast and Dublin?
I suppose there are two key areas in terms of cities on the island of Ireland. We have, first and foremost, our customer base are Donegal women. It was Donegal women that helped us build the business. They really, really took the brand on board and helped us grow. And then secondary to that, Dublin and Belfast would be the areas where we have most customers. Also, I suppose the pandemic afforded smaller businesses like ourselves and smaller brands the opportunity to get into retail in large retail locations at a reasonable price. So I think the fact that the Arcadia Group went bust and other large English retailers that would have had space in those shopping centres, they pulled out, as you know, out of them. And that's given, smaller brands like myself the opportunity to get in lower rents, and I certainly took advantage of that.
Fitpink has built up a very close link with Planet International. Jenny, can you talk to me a wee bit about that?
Yeah, so I suppose... when I was starting the business, I really wanted to have a charitable element at our core, something that we would support over the long term, and built into the business model. So I think it's very hard for businesses when their cost base is set and they're working on tight margins to sort of suddenly say, I'm going to start donating to this cause. Whereas I figured that if I built that into the business model from the start, it would work. So it did, yeah. So we partnered with Plan International, and in particular we support their Because I Am a Girl campaign, and that supports women and girls in other countries just lead better lives, learn to lead and thrive, and importantly get educated and stay in education and not have to go and get married. That's a cause we feel that resonates with our customer demographic, because obviously our customers are females, they're mothers themselves, and they can really, I think, really be glad that some of their purchase is going to help other girls.
Where did the name Fitpink come out of?
I suppose I wanted a brand that was feminine and soft and strong, I suppose, really. So, fit is strong, pink is maybe softer. It was hard to get a brand that would strike both and that would kind of allude to what the product is too. So, people seem to like the brand. They like the colouring, they like our logo. So I think it works well.
And there a lot of time was spent in getting that right, I'm sure.
It was, yeah. So again, I would have had various versions of a logo, and I would have sent four versions, I think, to a group of women, I remember it, on a Facebook message. And yeah, the sort of the overwhelming choice would have been the one that we use today. So I think I was very careful not to choose too much about what I liked and what I thought would be nice, and to really try and test those things with other people. So the logo that you see today, I don't think was my first choice, but it was certainly the first choice of that group of women. So that's what we went with.
Gina, you're in business a long time. What's the best lesson you've learned in those years in business?
I suppose there wouldn't be one. There's so much. I feel that like I'm nearly 30 years in business now, and I feel like I'm a far, far better business person as I get older. I've got more emotional maturity, more wisdom, and I think the learnings you get from failure. So Doolittle's didn't work out. Like, went into liquidation in 2008, and you learn an awful lot from failure. But learnings, God, so much. But timing, really, I think.
Is there one thing that you learn from failure?
I can't put one thing on it. Probably patience, and to make more data-driven decisions rather than gut. So I would have always worked on my gut instinct, whereas now I'm a lot more analytical. I'd really look at things before I leap and take my time and look at all the different evidence available.
Would you have been impulsive before?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you less impulsive now?
Definitely, yeah, that sums it up. Just less impulsive and more mature about things, and yeah. Timing as well is something I learned. So, you know, I've started some I think fairly good business ideas, but at the wrong time, things that the market mightn't have been ready for. I started a subscription type business before anybody had heard of subscription boxes, and now there's subscription boxes for everything. So timing is everything, and I think that's part of the reason of our success so far with FitPink is timing. It was athleisure was the fastest growing category, and that certainly helped.
How different is the business world almost 2 years on from the pandemic overall?
I think it's for a lot of sectors and for a lot of business people, they're just getting back on their feet. You know, we were so lucky, but so many businesses were the exact opposite. And I really felt for those businesses during that time. So, you know, it's finding a new level. It's finding a new normal. Things probably won't be the same as they were before. I think there's a lot more meetings that are being conducted online on Zoom and things like that than having to drive for half a day to get to a meeting. I think that's a major bonus. And the remote working obviously is something that's changed a lot. One of our most recent employees is a lady called Laura. She's based in Letterkenny, and actually she's working from home today, so she comes over here one, maybe 2 days a week, but yeah, generally she works from the coal out there in Letterkenny. So
is there a person in business that you admire most, or that you looked up to when you were started in business?
Lots of Irish businessmen. Páirc Ócáide, who's was recently a senator, he would have been a judge in a competition that I would have been in years and years ago, and he was flying from Galway Airport to Dublin with Air Aran at the time, and he was really my inspiration to go to Dublin with sandwiches. I just felt, well, if he can do it from the back end of Galway, surely I can do it from Donegal. And that really prompted me to look at the Dublin market. So yeah, there's so many Irish entrepreneurs, particularly in the EY alumni, that are doing amazing things and continue to do so. Some really big businesses out there that started with an idea. Dennis O'Brien's always been a hero of mine too. I just think what he's done is extraordinary, and what he continues to do, and he seems to do an awful lot for a lot of very good causes that don't get the press that I think they deserve.
Jenny, if you had followed your childhood dream job, what would you be doing with yourself now?
I would probably be a surgeon or a doctor. Yeah, I think that was my missed calling in life.
Did you come close to pursuing that?
I would have if I were able to study in Ireland, yeah. I would have been able to do that in Australia, but I wanted to come back to Ireland, and certainly if I were able to, I probably would have gone down that road.
And what advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Have patience. Go to college. You know, I probably starting a business at that age was too young. Like, I made so many mistakes in my 20s, you know, and I was... There was no such thing as work-life balance. It was just work. I didn't even allude to work-life balance, whereas I am much more conscious of it now. So probably patience, I would say. Get some experience before you go into business. Ultimately, I would have done it anyway. I feel it is the right thing for me. But I would always say get some experience first. And don't sweat the small stuff. You know, enjoy your life.
And finally, Jenny, What lies ahead for yourself and your business?
Well, we plan to really scale the business. As you say, we've just opened in Blanchardstown. That's going really well. We opened in Belfast. Probably, I would hope, 2 to 3 more retail locations in Ireland in 2022. And then really to grow our online business. So currently, you know, 80% of our online business is in Ireland, 20% is the UK. And I really want to grow that out and to really grow our market share in the UK and other markets. Like, we have a phenomenal brand. We know that. We've over 2,000 verified reviews on our website. And you know, people that wear the brand are really passionate about it, so we think we're ready to scale.
How good a currency are those positive reviews?
They are everything. There's no marketing to us that's as effective or as worthy as word of mouth, bar none. It's word of mouth is so important to us, and so it's not even the reviews. The reviews, yes, are fantastic, but it's women who tell other women that, oh God, I got these leggings, they're fantastic, they're like a second skin, they don't roll down, they stay put. That to us, that word of mouth that we can't measure, that you don't see online, that to us is really, really important. And I think there must be so many women doing that for us, because, you know, we hear it from other people who are coming to buy.
You mentioned, Jenny, that you're considering opening maybe 2 or 3 new retail outlets maybe next year. Any hopes or aspirations of opening maybe in another country or countries?
Oh yeah, absolutely, further down the road. I'd like to grow the international business online first to really establish a brand presence and brand awareness in those markets. But yeah, who knows, really.
Jenny Himmelly, CEO and founder of Fitpink, thanks for joining us today on Business Matters.
Thanks for having me, Kieran.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh and Jenny Timoney. Thanks to Kevin Fury on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Do you want to learn how to tap into unprecedented opportunities in the food and drink industry? Then join our Higher Diploma in Food Product Innovation and Enterprise. This course is 100% online and co-funded by Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Visit lyit.ie for more information.